I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What are you doing with what you know? Really, what are you doing? And that is a huge question for our generation specifically, because we have never known more. And yet somehow it has never affected what we've done less. Because science just keeps on proving that the secret to human thriving is deliberately living with these organic connections to the earth and our food and our bodies and each other. And yet, we keep choosing the most synthetic, processed, medicated, isolated lives that humans have ever lived. We know for a fact that we need better sleep while we're scrolling at 1 o'clock in the morning. We know that we need better nutrition while we're eating fast food full of empty calories and known poisons. And we know that we need real relationships to thrive while we are preparing our social media posts that falsify how we look and how we feel and who we are. Why? Because we're nuts, that's why. That's the truth. We are crazy. You know this to be true. And you can be I've been in that situation where I'm like literally reading about nutrition and eating garbage. It is just insane. And here's why we do it. We do it because our desires can contaminate what we know to shape what we do. And Paul warns us about it pretty specifically. He says, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be boastful and proud and abusive and, believe it or not, disobedient to their parents. Can you imagine such a thing? They'll be ungrateful and unholy. They'll be without love entirely. They'll be unforgiving and slanderous, without self-control, brutal. They'll not be lovers of the good. Instead, they'll be treacherous and rash and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power because they're swayed by all kinds of evil desires. That's what we just listed. They're swayed by all kinds of evil desires. And that means that they can be always learning, but never able to come to knowledge of the truth. You see the pattern there? You see what was going on? I mean, what we love sways how we hear. That's the big thing. Whatever we love, it changes how we actually hear what we know. So if we love ourselves or money or pleasure more than we love God and giving and goodness, we'll never actually know the truth because we'll never actually hear the truth. Because confirmation bias is a real thing and it's huge. And the confirmation bias that is in the lovers of all things earthly, well, that's only going to amplify all the stuff that produces the personal and material gain that we want to find. And this even happens in God's Word. You can even have that same effect where you only hear the things that you want to hear. Babylon Bee, if you ever read Babylon Bee, it's great. It's a fake news. Yeah. And they had this article, and it was an ad for a new Bible with perforated pages. So you could just tear the ones out that you don't like and just make the perfect Bible by throwing out. That's how we are. I mean, that was the joke. It's the truth. That's how we are. Because we will just hear what we want to hear, the stuff that supports what we want to believe. And just doing that, ignoring the parts that we don't like, that's how we got the pro-slavery theology of the 18th and 19th centuries, where they twist the words, or they don't talk about some of the Bible because they say, oh no, this way it supports what we want it to support. That's how Nazi Germany used the Bible to make anti-Semitic doctrines that aren't in there, but they can just twist it, you know? And how we got the prosperity gospel of so many American evangelists, right? Because your heart can be swayed by the things that it wants and change how you hear what you know. So I want to repeat a pair of verses that I often read back to back. I like to read these back to back because I think it is very important to remind us all of the volatility of the situation and the responsibility. And here they are. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Know that. So, above all else, Guard your heart, because everything that you do flows from it. Remember that, okay? Huge, huge principle. Our heart is not just our emotional side. It is our control center, because it has the power to overrule all the other input in our lives, everything else that we're supposed to be doing, and then prioritize whatever it wants to pursue. Your heart can do that at any given. You can be like, I know I got to get on that treadmill. But your heart says, but our favorite show is on, you know, and then you're off. And yet, with all of that powerful, here's the other part of that truth. The heart is as corruptible as it is powerful. Okay, that, bless you, if that was a sneeze. However that came out, I'm, get him a napkin. So because we're so vulnerable, our heart is so vulnerable and corruptible and powerful, God knows that. And so because of that, he did not send more words that could be misheard and twisted by our heart. Instead, we talked about this. He sent an experience of love, an experience of such a powerful love that it was strong enough to transform our love. Because you see, at just the right time, which was when we were still powerless, completely, like just an easy to defeat. We're just powerless. We got nothing. Right then, Christ died for the ungodly. And so God demonstrates his own incredible love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, really hear that. While we were God's enemies, I mean, just we could not be worse in this situation. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. So yeah, we love because he first loved us. Don't think that you did it out of some noble recognition. No, come on. It would be stupid not to love him, right? What more could he do to prove himself to us? Like we said a few weeks back, explanations just can't compare with an experience. And while we were God's weak, criminal nemesis, he let us experience an undeserved, unreturned, and undeniable love that chose to take the cross that we all deserved. You get that? I mean, that is, he just took the as bad as we could be, he showed us as good could be. Just to heighten that, just to really make that illustration work in the most profound way. So if actions speak louder than words, the loudest thing that God ever said was the cross. Okay? And that's what I want you to hear today. I mean, it is just screaming his love at you. And that is why it is so central to Christians. Because that love on the cross changes everything. Because the cross is a real world experience of a true love influence. It's not just a fact to know. It is a love to experience, to sway how we hear what we know. And it makes the biggest difference. It really does change everything. And so, for example, I was trying to think of how to explain this. Let me give you this example, see if this makes sense. You may know, have you heard about the recent deadly Venezuela earthquakes that happened? Okay, I know about them, but I didn't really do anything about them. I know, I saw some like reels on Facebook and I went, whoa, I did not even know that was going on. I know that's going on. But I tell you what, you sure would hear it differently if your kid was living there. Because the influence of love transforms information into action items. Because if your kid was living there, you would be making calls, you'd be buying tickets, and you would be praying constantly, all because your heart got involved in what you heard. And so that's what we got to, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like Paul was saying, is it's because of our love is what changes why we do what we do with what we know. So you got to just get your heart involved. And that is one of the big reasons that God chose the cross to publicly pay for our sin instead of privately punishing it. It's because showing his heart invites ours to get involved. I love you this much, right? Let me just show you how much I love you. That should stir you to action. And because his love offers the most important relationship that we could ever have, the cross has the power to transform all of our information into action. Everything we hear down here should spur us into go, what do we do? You know, what do we do about that in light of his love? Because when we account for God's love displayed on the cross, We are going to take to heart everything we hear in His Word. Get it? Oh, so clever. What a brilliant pastor you are. That's what I... No, no, that's... Stop. No, no. No, this is the whole thing is I just, this is one of those, I think Bruce said it in a sermon a couple weeks ago. He's like, we got to take to heart everything we hear. And I go, yeah, that's what the cross proves. I got an idea. So that's where we are. It doesn't stop there. Here we go. We got to take to heart everything we hear. And that's what the cross helps us do. From creation to revelation, we should be hanging on every single word of Scripture as the critical communication that the love of our life was willing to die for us to hear. Like, this is that important that He went to the cross to just tell you this thing, right? Because knowing that our true love gave His life just to give weight to His words should inspire our heart to respond and at least humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Because humbly hearing, you know, what He's saying in light of His love means that, well, we do not merely listen to the word. We do what it says, right? We now have a vested interest, a real relationship with it. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like somebody who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself goes away and then immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks into the perfect law that gives freedom, like gets into His word and sees what it says and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but instead doing it, well, they will be blessed in what they do. Okay, you get that principle? This is another one of those, there's so much packed into this scripture. But what I want you to hear is this. Mirrors don't fail, right? They're not the problem. We are. Information fails without action. I had that this morning. I was just telling them first service, so you get to know as well. My eyebrows are out of control. They need to get trimmed up. I looked in the mirror this morning and I went, okay, I got to go to work. And I went, holy cannolis, look at those things. They're massive, like a couple of caterpillars that are taking naps. They're wild. And so I was like, I got to do something about that. Otherwise, they will keep on going. I'll look like a wizard. Something... It's a gift I have. I don't know. But anyway, the whole point of looking in the mirror is to do something about it. If I look in there and I go, yeah, those things are nuts, and I don't do anything, next week you guys are going to start going, bro, you got to do something about what's going on up there. So you're supposed to look into His Word, and when you see something, you're supposed to do it. Because Scripture works the exact same way. Contrary to what many Christians believe, how they see the Bible, just reading God's Word does not change your life. Sorry. I know. It's kind of a challenging thing to say. Just reading it alone does not change your life. Of course not. Right? Reading God's word reveals the change that your life needs. And this is just super obvious if you really think about it. Lots of atheists have read every single word of the Bible and still failed to come to a knowledge of its truth. I know this because I was one of them. I knew a lot of the Bible, and it didn't matter. It didn't affect me because I was not putting it into action. But the truth is, we got to see things in action to know them in full. For example, you know, you can read every single book written about riding a bicycle. But I was this type of kid. I would much rather be like, I don't want to do the scary thing. Let me prepare. And you can memorize all the gear ratios and learn about gyroscopic stability and understand the physics of counter steering and how it works, right? And eventually, however, someone is going to say, that's great. Get on the bike. And you're going to have to get on the bike. And the moment that you get on the bike, you will realize that some things can only be known by doing them. You got to do it. You got to put it into action. And biblical faith is one of them. You know, you just can't do it in imaginary land. You got to actually put it into practice. And that's why we've been following the story of Joseph this for the last several months. It's so great because his whole life, this is what the Bible is for, right? Is to teach us these things. But his whole life has been showing us how God turns painful experiences in your life into useful understanding, and then how He can turn that understanding that you gain into a new life that can bless someone else. And on it goes, right? And after seeing how all of the pit stops prepared Joe to carry God's blessing, which we've been walking through, right? Like we could just, there was nothing wasted. He had to do this, to do the but to do that, right? We had to go from one to another to another. This was all to prepare Joe to carry those blessings. And last week, we got to see where it all landed when Joseph opened those storehouses and fed a starving world. Like that is, it all comes together. He showed us that the potential power we can all, there is a potential power that we can all personally know when what God says reaches our heart and changes what we do. When you actually just put into action, he says, you know, there's going to be famine. You should do something about that. Holy smokes. It just changes a lot. And Joe didn't have the cross in hindsight like we do. He just trusted that fully knowing God's love in the present meant that he was going to have to follow God's guidance all the way to the future. This is that foresight to have hindsight. He's like, I know this is going to make sense. I don't feel it now, but I trust him. I trust the heart. And so I know that we're going to see it. We got it easy, guys. We got it easy because Joe had the promise, but we have the proof. Because we got the cross, and like us and the Bible, God gave Joseph dreams to guide his actions before knowing the meaning. And it was only after God led Joe from the depth of his brother's pit in the very beginning to the height of Pharaoh's power that Joe finally got to know it all. You know, it had to come to fruition through all of the experience, because the whole time, you know, as a young guy, he got that dream and he's like, oh, you guys are all going to bow to me. I'm going to be a big deal. And they went, big deal, my eye, put him in a pit, you know, and then big deal down there, little Joe. Of course not. Right. And he's like, well, how does this make sense? So he had this word from God, but no explanation, not understanding how it went. And he had to go through all of the experience for it to finally come to fruition and make sense. And his knowledge of the situation finally caught up to his knowledge of God's love all at once. At the end of the story, it's the best ending to any story. Because after working it all out and being like, God, what are you doing? I thought that, you know, you said you love me. I'm going to be this thing. And yet, pit, prison, Potiphar, what's going on? And then, all of a sudden, all at once, it clicks after he's gone through it all. And his brothers are standing there and he says, you intended to harm me, but God had intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I mean, that is so cool to just like to have that aha moment, to just know that it is coming when you can't see it. And I want you to notice that, though. Things only become clear in God's will when they're in action. Like, you have to see them in action. It took saving the very people who wanted to kill him for Joe to hear the heart that he knew God had. Because let me back up here. Did I say that right? Does that make sense? Just not along. Okay, so then, well, calm down. To hear the heart that he knew God had. There's too many H's in there, and I got thrown by it. Because love that deep, any love that is that big, any truth that is that deep, requires an extreme experience to reveal such a profound truth, right? It has to be something that really unpacks the depth of all that. And so, like Joe, none of us can fully know God's purpose until we fully follow God's plan. Because once God's word reaches our heart, it ought to reach our hands. That is just the next, he's like, I told you these things, you take them to heart because you realize you love me. Well, let's put it into action now. And since Jesus gives us the perfect picture of God's profound love, all we have to do is add the cross to what we plan, and it becomes what we plant. It works again. I hope there's so many people who are visiting for the first time, and they're like, what is up with this cultish church? They're so weird. We are weird. That's the secret. No, we're goofy. That's our thing. It's no secret. I know. This goes out online. They talk about us. But yes, add the cross to what we plant and it becomes what we plant. Because the cross is God's love literally moving from intention into action. Right? It's not just in theory. It's just actually happening. Jesus didn't merely plan to save us. He did what love required. It's us who loves plans. We love plans more than planting because we get emotional credit for things that we haven't had to do yet. I'm going to start working out on Monday. You know, I am going to start tithing every single week next week. Well, that is awesome because your imaginary future body looks fantastic. And your hypothetical generosity is absolutely inspiring. It really is. It just doesn't mean anything until you do something, right? You just gotta do something. And while plans are good, I'm not saying not to make plans. You gotta make plans because they point us towards something. Planting actually starts something. Because in the same way that we say the rubber has to meet the road, right? The rubber has to hit the road to get things going. Well, the seed has to hit the soil to get things growing. You know, you don't stand over a pack of seeds and go, grow! You know, you got to do something with them. You got to put them in there. And starting is our responsibility. That's it. That's the big thing. We just got to start things. And Paul explains the process very clearly. He says, listen, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow, right? God's the one who gives growth. We check out at that point and we go, do your thing, Lord. We plant, God grows. And sometimes we hear that as like, oh, I wish I had more control. No, you don't. No, you don't. You'd be miserable at it. This should sound very freeing to us. We just plant. We just get things started and God takes it from there. And that should be so freeing because one of the biggest reasons that we fail to start is a fear of getting to the finish. That's why I am the way I am. It's like if you don't want to start working out because you're like, I just won't do it. And then I'll be embarrassed and I'll feel bad and shame for it. But if I never start, I won't have ever failed. I've beat the system again. You know. So you can't let that be your reason, right? You have to just start. You know, we say, okay, I want to go invite someone to church, you know, but then what if I invite them to church and they say no? And, you know, and the world falls apart because of it and everything just goes wrong. Well, I got good news for you. God did not ask us to guarantee the harvest. He just asked us to put something in the ground. That's all you got to do. Throw it out there. If they say no, and how dare you, and I'm going to burn your church down for asking, then you're like, cool, that's on you, not me. I did my part. I just tried to get it going. That's it. That's your whole responsibility. You know, nurture it and stuff, but like, just get it going. But the only way to be absolutely sure that nothing grows is to just keep on planning without ever planting. You know, to just keep saying, I'm gonna. If this, then maybe later on. You know, you got to move from planting to planting, and you'll only be inspired to do that in light of his love. Because once again, the cross of Jesus is a shortcut to that faith of Joseph that takes action. Because when the God that he loved sent Joe a message, Joe's heart moved from planning to planting so that everybody else could get a taste that God was good. Interpret this dream. Oh, man, famine's coming. Guys, let's go. Let's do something. God's telling us this because he loves us, and I trust him. So bada bing, bada boom. And it's because Joseph's plans didn't feed anybody. His obedience did. It was because he heard, you know, and he said, okay, we're going to have to do this. And that meant you, buddy, go start digging things up and get the storehouses ready. And this, however, does explain a very important but also unfortunate principle, which is, as we read a couple weeks, I think, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, and so what good is the harvest if you don't have the workers? I mean, the workers are few, not the planters. We got plenty of those. It's like a government office in here. You know, we got everybody can make plans and not do anything. We don't need spectators. We need workers. Because once you start planting things, people unfortunately learn something very irritating about growing things. They need rain. You know, like you can get going and you go, hey, this is going to be great. And then in the rain, I got to do it in the rain. And rain is very discouraging until your heart gets invested in what you're planting because it sees how a storm actually leads to growing that seed. So even though it's uncomfortable, you start going, well, we need this though, right? This is good. Like every farmer says, yay, rain. That's money in the bank, you know? We want that rain. It helps things grow. So if we add the love of the cross to our storms, it becomes easy to see how every single drop of rain is really just a God-given opportunity to train. That's right. Hold for applause. Okay. No, it's an opportunity to train. Stop it. Stop it. Every drop of rain is an opportunity to train. This is all stuff that we've been talking about kind of through this series here, is like all of that hardship, you know, the pit, the prison, Mrs. Potiphar, all of that stuff has just been equipping him. It seems like it's this awful stormy seasons of life, but the whole time it's been training him. And once you know that Jesus died to save us from the punishment of sin, it makes absolutely no sense to treat every painful thing that he allows in our lives as payback. Oh, God's trying to get me because I'm not doing it. He already paid it. He already paid for your sin. He's not trying to stick it to you for your sin. That's not what the hardship in your life is for. That's what he says when the guy's, you know, why is this man blind? Was it him or his parents who sinned? Because, you know, clearly that's how God works. And Jesus says, no, that's not what we're doing here. This is for other reasons. You get hardship because it's good for you. It helps things grow. That's why he brings the rain. So rather than assuming punishment, the cross should confirm that our pain must serve a very productive purpose. The problem is, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it does produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You know, not just beat up by it, but trained by the rain. Because the rain isn't pleasant, that's clear, but it can be productive. And the cross should remind us that a loving God can use unwanted rain to train unseen strength. You know, everything that's going on that is no good, all things work together for good if you love God. He's working it toward the good. Joseph's betrayal trained him to value power without cruelty. Right? Prison trained him to serve without reward, just to like learn how to do his duty and contribute and be good and obedient, you know? And all of that waiting in the white space and between things without knowing, that trained him to just trust God's timing. You know, he kept just escaping by the skin of his teeth, and he's like, it's gonna pan out. I just trust God is doing something. And so when he finally did arrive at the palace and he made it there and he was like, aha, see, God's timing. If I just go through, then you realize this. The palace is not the thing that produced his character where all of a sudden he was wise and able to be ruling and like do all the good. The palace didn't produce that. It just revealed what all of the pain and rain had been training in him the whole time. So instead of us asking, God, when can we be done with all of this? Like whatever hardship you're going through, when we say, I'm doing my best, but can we be done? We should stop asking for it to be over, and we should start asking, God, what are you growing from what we're doing? Get that purpose, right? Because there's something in there. So find it. That's going to be your quickest way out, too. It's like, let's do it then, Lord. Let's just do it. And that's because training always has a target. God is working something in there. Find out what it is and then get to that target. Training has a target. Joseph's storms were moving him from a pit that he couldn't explain to a place where he could finally and fully know what God had been doing all along. He got all of the information, but it took all the pain along the way. But the cross gives us an even greater confidence. We get to just see it even better. Bless you. Okay, that's two. You go for the trifecta, we're going to call someone. The cross gives us greater confidence because Jesus didn't just tell us about the life that's beyond here. He went there and came back. And when we let that fact affect the way we live down here, bless you. I don't even know who it is, but I'm on you. When we let that fact of his love on the cross actually affect how we live down here, we're already on our way back up there. It changes here to there the second that love is in your heart. Because the cross changes how our heart hears everything, including Jesus, when he says, I am the way. No, God bless. I'm just kidding. I'm picking on you now. If you do need something, let us know. We will get it for you. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, when you hear that from who it's coming from in this whole situation, you realize it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. It was because of his love and what he was doing. Jesus came to die down here so we could have a way to live up there. And it was his love that made the joy of saving us worth the pain of enduring the cross. Okay? So get this. You were God's kid that was caught in that earthquake. Okay, that's what he's saying. You were the kid caught in the earthquake. He didn't just, the second he heard that we were in danger from the life-threatening power of sin, his heart turned that information into action. And he planted a plan with a purpose that would use all of the frustrating rain and pain of our situation down here to train us to be able to take action when it was time to follow him from the danger down here to the safety up there. Okay, that is what we know from his word and his cross. So what are you doing with what you know? Okay, that's the truth. That's the real thing. He saw you in danger of not having that eternal life. And he said, we're going to go. We're into action, jump into action, go save them. So what are you doing about it? What are you doing? Whatever it is, if you want to just do better, well, then the next time that you look into God's word, just take one thing that you heard and do it. And just do it. You know, that's all you got to do. One thing. Put one seed in the ground and just start letting it grow. Let one hard thing train one holy thing in you. And that's how you take one faithful step toward Jesus. And he's got it from there. Just get it started, because all hope of a better life hinges on how we hear God's truth. And until we let the love of the cross influence the information in his word, we're going to settle for just knowing better without ever doing better. And that's no good. Nothing happens there. So all that to say, here's what I'm just challenging you today. This is all I'm challenging you. And I'm so glad it's a baptism Sunday, because a baptism Sunday means a ton of you are actually just taking that step today. And that is huge and awesome. But everybody here, don't leave here just satisfied by knowing more, right? That's not what you're coming here to do, is to just know more. To come here and watch a handsome preacher tell you interesting things. That's not what you're here to do, to just know more. No. Here's what you got to do. You got to leave here today determined to actually do something different. Okay? Do one thing different because of what you're hearing, and let it go in there and mix with that love and just produce an action. Let go of what you think you know. Let your heart actually get involved, and then let his love make your next move. Because the cross has to rule your heart before it is ever going to allow your hope to thrive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for proving your love to us, to invite us and inspire our heart to take the action to truly, actually, really know who you are. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you guard us by moving your word from our ears into our hearts and into our hands, so we can plant your plans in our lives and train with your rain and follow your lead all the way from down here back up there with you. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for making the cross the loudest love that this world has ever seen. And we trust your example to transform the love that we know into a life of hope. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.